There in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 25, we read, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor what your body will, nor about your body what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." When we look about us and we think about our own lives, friends, today America is in the grips of an epidemic of worry. We worry about money. We worry about relationships. We worry about our appearance, our health, what other people think of us, and the list could go on and on and on. Now, the symptoms of our anxiety are staggering. From emotional disorders to serious health problems, worry can take its toll on our health. We're literally, in this country, worrying ourselves to death. You know, there's much that we in the church have to learn about anxiety. Our worries have a way of following us into the church building and sitting with us in the pew. And here in our text, Jesus identifies four sources of worry. Number one, we worry over things which we have no control. Look at verse 27. Chapter 6 and verse 27. Which one of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? Think about what Jesus is asking here. How many of us, by worrying about how tall we are, can add inches to our height? It's not going to happen. We have no control over that. There are some things which are simply beyond our control. We could not do anything about them, even if we tried. And worrying about them not only does not change them, it also robs us of our ability to deal with them when they come. Jesus' solution to this source of worry is implied in verse 26. He says, "Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" Why worry about things that we can't change? It doesn't help. And it robs us of our current joy that's within our grasp. And one quote that I like says, "God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference." Do we have that wisdom? Or do we constantly allow ourselves to be worried over things that we have no control over? Do we allow those things to rob us of our joy? Jesus identifies another worry that we often allow get to us. We worry about things that don't really matter. Jesus says in verse 25, "Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" Why worry about things that in the big scheme of things don't really matter? He points out, Jesus does, that some things are more important than others. Many of the things that you and I worry about are simply not worth the effort. Doesn't really matter. You know, went hunting a couple weekends ago and locked my keys in my truck. Nothing I could do about it. I'm not anywhere around a locksmith. Don't have a spare key at that point. I got one now. You better believe it. But trying to get into the truck, I broke out the back sliding glass in the back windshield. I learned that was a $423 mistake. But what's the matter in the big scheme of things? It's just a piece of glass. It's just money. It doesn't matter. What matters is that we were able to come home safely. We had a successful hunt. We were able to put food on the table. And God blessed us with our health, with that day, and being able to make it home. Why worry about things that don't really matter? Shakespeare put it like this, much ado about nothing. Why do we make such a fuss over something that doesn't matter? You see, Jesus says that we can conquer worry over the unimportant by learning to do something here. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. If we will seek Him first, rather than worry about things that don't really matter, friends, I believe we'll be a lot happier. You know, the Greek word for worry, it literally means to be pulled in different directions. Imagine yourself having a rope tied on each arm, and you've got a group of people over here and a group of people over here, and they're pulling in opposite directions. That's worry. Literally tearing yourself apart. That's the picture that we are to get here. This picture of worry. By aiming our lives in one direction, by aiming it at the kingdom of God, by aiming it toward heaven, and learning to put first things first, friends, we can reduce some of the artificial self-made anxieties of life. Here's another problem that Jesus identifies. Number three, we worry about things that have not yet happened. You often find yourself worrying about tomorrow. What's going to happen? What's going to take place? Well, number one, remember what James had to say on the matter. Your life is but a what? Vapor? Don't worry about tomorrow because you don't know if tomorrow's going to come. Live for today. Therefore, verse 34, Jesus says, "Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." You know, what if those two words are the most worry-filled words in the English language? And oftentimes we find ourselves worrying about things that won't happen. It's not going to happen. And yet we worry about what if? What if? You know, anxious speculation over the future does not empty tomorrow of its trials, but it does empty today of its joys. Even when we know something's going to happen, it's inevitable. Our fear and dread of it is almost always worse than the thing happening itself. You know, oftentimes we find ourselves worrying about those what ifs, and when those what ifs finally do come true, we're on the other side of it, what do we catch ourselves thinking? Oh, that wasn't so bad. What was I so worried about? You think about what you put yourself through as you worry about those things that aren't so bad. You know, Christ's answer to worry over the future is found in verse 34. Basically, He says there each day has enough trouble of its own. In other words, friends, live one day at a time. Let's prudently manage today and let tomorrow take care of itself. Don't worry about tomorrow. Take care of today's problems today. Take care of tomorrow's problems tomorrow. Prudently live each day and let tomorrow take care of itself. The fourth problem He identifies. He says we worry about things of legitimate concern. There are some things, as the text suggests, that are challenges of life that have real substance. that are of legitimate concern. There are the physical necessities of food, of clothing, and shelter. And there are the difficult circumstances that can threaten us. Yet what does Jesus say on the matter? Jesus says even these things are not worthy of worry because they are things that God is perfectly willing and God is perfectly able to assist us with. As we went through the passage, I hope we noticed something and keep these things in their context. Notice with me again verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What is Jesus talking about? Friends, He's telling us that if we will seek God's kingdom first, then those legitimate concerns of food, clothing, and shelter, we don't have to worry about them because God's going to provide. We'll have them. He's going to take care of us. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these physical things of which we have need will be added unto us. But we must seek Him first. You see, our Heavenly Father knows our needs. And He makes that promise that if we will seek first His kingdom, those genuine needs will be supplied. Put away our Bibles. Let's take out our song books. Ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. Friends, how do we conquer worry? Jesus gives us the answers. Do we find ourselves worrying about things over which we have no control? If the answer to that question is yes, why? You can't control them anyway, going about your business. Jesus says just that. Seek first the kingdom of God. That's His answer. Don't worry about it. Do we find ourselves worrying about things which don't really matter? Seek first the kingdom of God. Do we find ourselves worrying about things that have not yet happened or may not happen? Friends, let's live for today. Let tomorrow worry about tomorrow. And do we find ourselves worrying about things which seem legitimate but lack faith in God? Friends, let's put our faith where it belongs. Let's put our faith in the Lord. Let's put our faith in Jesus Christ. Let's put our faith in God. Seek first His kingdom and know that He will provide. And He'll be there for us. And take comfort in that fact. Christians, we've got nothing to worry about. We've got all the hope in the world and all those spiritual blessings that are found in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Philippians 4 verses 6 through 7 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Friends, if God is our focus, if His kingdom is our focus, and we're honest with ourselves, what do you and I as Christians really have to worry about? Not a thing. Because even if my life is taken, where is my destination? It's in heaven with God. That's why Paul was able to say, "For me to live is Christ." As long as he was upon this earth, he was going to continue to preach God's gospel. But for me to die, he said, is gain. What do we as Christians really have to worry about? I'd like to share a poem with you. The lesson will be yours. "All the water in the world, however hard it tried, could never, never sink a ship unless it got inside. All the hardships of this world might wear you pretty thin, but they won't hurt you one least bit unless you let them in." Friends, are you here this evening having never obeyed the gospel of Christ? If the answer to that question is yes, friends, then you really do have a legitimate worry. because you're not saved. And if you've never been baptized, never been immersed in water for the remission of your sins, you've never come in contact with His blood, friends, then in Mark chapter 16, 15 and 16, He says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned or condemned." I believe that would be a legitimate worry. Do you have that worry weighing on your conscience tonight? Friends, allow the blood of Christ to wash those sins away and allow Him to add you to His church. As we said this morning, for there's only one. Would you obey His gospel tonight? Are you here tonight, my friends, having done that? Those things that are necessary to become a Christian but have fallen away. Would you come back? Would you come home? And friends, would you do so right now while we stand and while we sing?